All right, John and Amy here. We're back again with Paddles Up. And today we just want to talk a little bit about what it looks like to heal the ego. You know, often we're taught or we assume that the ego is just all bad. And, you know, what is the ego, first of all? Well, check our other podcasts out and we talk a little bit more about that. But today we wanted to do a deep dive, short deep dive into what it looks like to heal it rather than kill it, because we can't. We'd have to kill ourselves if that was the case. Or to abuse it some more. It doesn't need any more abuse. Or to discard it. So let's dive in.
Yeah, you know, and this is where we're currently at. Well, we have expanded to at this point. And so we want to just bring some more of what we've even learned in this last past season on the ego. And you guys have heard us talk about it before. Really, the ego is simply edging God out. So the form of the ego in so many ways is actually our belief system, wouldn't you say, that we have incorporated or has been put upon us through tradition, through our upbringings and parents, again, belief systems being passed down and our subconscious programming that is running our lives. I'm sure a lot of you have heard the statistics, right? There's only 5% of the time we're in creativity and conscious to that versus the 95% of the time we are in our subconscious where it's just programs and patterns running us. But thank the Lord, we're in the Great Awakening, where we are waking up to these truths and things are unfolding and expanding truth upon truth upon truth upon truth, the ripple effect. So when we talk about the ego, where it stands right now, and coming from the Christian background of the, you know, intercessory, and there's always something coming against us or we got to fight against or get rid of and keep pure and cleanse and all this kind of stuff, we kind of have that approach with the ego. It's like the new modern term for the flesh. But really, you know, the saying goes, whatever you resist persists. And we're actually resisting ourselves because it's showing to us there's something we haven't looked at because, oh, I don't want to look at the fact that I'm battling with jealousy, or I don't want to look at the fact that I have envy, or I don't want to look at the fact that I'm overambitious because I'm trying to cover up some wounding that I now need to prove to humanity or prove to my parents that I'm good enough. And so this good, you know, not enough belief system comes into operation. And again, it's a belief system, I really believe.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it's true. It's there's a lot to it. However, when you look at this simplistically, the ego, the part of us that gets formed and fashioned through the subconscious programming, like Amy mentioned, but it's also deficient in the fact that if we keep neglecting or pushing it away because we don't like what we see in the mirror, so to speak, then what we're going to do is keep it in its small self. Yeah. And really that's what the ego is as well. There's many definitions that you could look at, but keeping it in its small self rather than looking at it, embracing it as the small inner child that's been wounded, hurt, and traumatized, rather than looking at it and saying, listen, I welcome you in to integrate into the bigness of who I am in spirit. And so it's like this. Jesus said, I wish that none should perish. I want all, in other words, to come and to realize, first of all, that I am love. And secondly, you are already part of the family. And so if the child in us, so to speak, is feeling like they're abandoned or neglected, and we continue to put that abandoned or neglected on them, then we're going against the Christ nature in us, because Christ's nature in us always welcomes in and always sends out love. And so how we look at it like this, I kind of talked about this before on another podcast, is I look at it like the little Johnny that's sitting in the back seat and it's screaming or crying or throwing a fit or kicking the back of your chair. Have you ever had that happen in the airplane? Yeah, it's a little bit annoying. However, that child is looking for some sort of attention, love, or approval or embracement. And so if you look at the child in the back seat of the car, like little Johnny in my case, little Amy in her case, and that child is screaming for attention, we can tell it to shut up and get angry about it, which is what we've done a lot of in the whole church world or religious world, basically, instead of saying, hold on a minute, let me pull over the car and let's have the conversation, little Johnny. And do it, and coming from a place of spirit rather than the anger or the resentment or bitterness or whatever it may be, the frustration coming from that egoic side to join in with a little Johnny, join in with a little Amy. And so what in that context, what would you do with that child in the back seat? You'd want to help the child understand and embrace the child that love is the higher frequency, love is the higher way. And give them what they need, not the sucker, not the candy, not the extra piece of chocolate that they're begging for. That's what their ego is screaming for inside the little ego, if you want to look at it that way. But you want to look at the child and listen intently to what the child really needs, and then give them what they need by the greater self, right, which is the spirit.
And remember that that little Johnny or little Amy, that is a part of us. It's the part we haven't looked at. And a lot of times, you know, people will call that shadow work, or it's things we're not ready yet to look at, yet it's running the show, right? And we are in the Great Awakening right now, where the curtain's being pulled on everything, and we have to go there in order to advance in our growth as humanity and advance as children of God. And so we're really being called on the carpet, aren't we, with our belief systems and all the things we're running from in fight or flight and resisting, when God is like, wait a minute, this is an area I really need you to look at, because my middle name is Love and Restoration, right? And we're made in His image. And so He's wanting us, He's been teaching John and I this whole welcoming technique, because when you welcome something in to the love and light that you are, the transformative light eternal being that you are, when you come from that place, things can't help but transform. And so any lie or belief that we had that wasn't in alignment with God's true nature gets dissolved. And the piece of you that maybe you were split off from or whatever gets reunited and transformed and integrated back in. And in humanity as a whole, we have had, you know, we're in the time right now of the masculine and feminine coming into that balance. And so for the longest time in the earth, the masculine, really since the fall of grace, right, back in the garden, when we cut ourselves off from the tree of life, and we went into our heads, went into not enoughness, right? There must be more beyond the tree, beyond the garden. God's withholding. And so we go into the ego, edging God out and into our reason and logic. And what happened was we closed our heart gateway off. We went into the head, and now the feminine side, the loving, nurturing side of God, couldn't fully enter in because of our free wills. And so we ended up going out in this masculine, dominant, a way of choosing our direction. And what did we get? Sweat, toil, and annoyances. And we are coming into this time of beautiful integration where the feminine side of the spirit and is coming in and integrating in, and we're being able to have that love to actually welcome in the harshness, welcome in the imbalance, and be fully integrated in that oneness.
Yeah, it's so good that she brought this out and started talking about the masculine, because we are in a time of feminine energy right now. Mm-hmm. Feminine energy is coming in such a way to where it's very noticeable if we are self-aware. I want to go back to the garden just a minute. You know, in essence, what God was saying to Adam, and remember, He spoke this to Adam, not Eve, as far as we know. He said, because you have done this, Adam, your ego, the masculine energy that you are, your ego is going to cause sweat and toil to come upon your life, because that the ego knows nothing else but hard work.
Right. Effort.
In other words, the ground that you've been used to walking in feminine energy will not yield its strength of effortless flow to your life anymore, because you've entered into ego. Same holds true today. How many of us have been busting our backside, hard work, sweat, and toil just to get a buck in our bank account? That energy is fast going away. That is the masculine energy that serves itself to enter into the subconscious programming of tradition and generational things. Mm-hmm. that says this is the way, I need to walk in it. Because after all, scripture says if I don't work, I don't eat. So there's things that are taken out of context because of this blindness in masculine energy. No more. It's all being unveiled. Yeah. It's coming away. The layers are coming off. And we're moving into this balance of masculine, feminine energy. But feminine energy is coming in strong so that we can counterbalance this.
Right.
And we won't be walking in this patriarchal masculine energy that of serves wars. To only fuel and fund the subconscious programming that needs to be healed.
Right, right. And the warring of it. There is a warring spirit there in that egoic nature. And they can say, well, what happened to the women during these decades? Because they, you know, they were here at the same time as the men were going through this masculine era. But where the women were so pushed down in their egos of not, you know, not really being able to speak up, it had that counterbalance. So thank the Lord we're coming into this balance, in the freedom of it, into the beautiful femininity, not the feminine agenda to where they've had a masculine energy running through them. So they've been out of balance there as well, right? I mean, the feminine movement fought because of what had happened to them through that masculine thing. But then it got out of balance, as we've all experienced, right?
Pendulum swings.
Yeah. So here they are operating in a masculine energy in a feminine body, right? Yeah. Warring for the rights and things. But as we're ascending, you know, into the fifth density, into this place of a heaven culture, heaven nature, where there isn't any more war or anything, the ego has been welcomed in and integrated to where our spirit is ruling, right? And there's lots of grace involved there. And so it's exciting. It's exciting to be in this time. So again, the welcoming technique, just again, picture this. When you know who you are as a being, an eternal being from God, with his nature, full of love, full of light, things that are in the darkness can't help but be dissolved or transformed when they come into the light. So they get integrated in, welcomed in, and transformed. We're transformable, transforming beings.
Transformers.
Yes, transformers made in his image. And so you can't think, oh my gosh, I don't want to welcome darkness into me. I don't want to welcome something that's bad or scary into me. It's like, but that's out of fear. When you know who you are, you are welcoming with open arms the transformation of it. And that's what's so powerful.
Yeah. And let's break that down a little bit, because there's a lot of talk in certain religious circles that casts even more shadows and darkness upon someone that's wounded. And so they'll say things like this, you're a Jezebel, right? Because a woman is, or a man, could be either one, is acting out of their little wounded child, and they're looking for healing and love more than more labeling, because what it does is it drives home the fact that they're already wounded and traumatized. And what do you do when you keep doing that? You keep kicking the dog, so to speak. It gets worse. It doesn't get better.
Right.
And so to have a little discernment would say, wait a minute, even if this is a dark entity of some type, the light within me is greater than that. And the one that's actually grappling with that woundedness, the light in them is greater than that subconscious programming and that woundedness.
Right.
And so what we want to do is go in and help people to become self-aware, not try to cast our own discernment, quote, discernment upon them, because sometimes it may be skewed. The one who knows the subconscious programming the best is the one who's become self-aware. When we're not called to fix anyone, guys. Mm-hmm. This may be revelation to you, but news to you. We're not called to fix or rescue anyone.
Right.
What we're called to do is cast forth the light that we are and anchor who we are in the earth to become so bright that it affects the subconscious programming of the one standing next to us, because we're all in oneness anyways.
Yeah.
We're all connected. And so when we become the bright light, then we walk down the street, so to speak, and then people look and they say, whoa, now that's something I can model.
Yeah.
And when they model it, then they become more self-aware and they're like, oh, what is going on internally within me? And then they start dealing with the little Jimmy in the back seat, the little Susie in the back seat that's kicking the back of their headrest. And then they'll be going,
pardon the pun.
Pardon the pun, headrest. A whole lot of us need a whole lot of headrest. And dropping into the heart. Now, if we touch on the heart is desperately wicked, who can know it? Okay, you hear this a lot in Christian circles. The heart is desperately wicked above all else. Mm-hmm. What's really going on there is the terms, the wording, they didn't quite know how to place this within the scripture or translate this. What's going on is, yes, there's a part of our soul that needs to be integrated into spirit, because how many of you know the spirit isn't wicked? That not one spirit on the planet is wicked. Because the spirit part of us is unconditional love. The soul that gets subconsciously programmed through pain and torment and trauma and infusion and placing it upon it, that is what gets skewed and wounded and traumatized. And so when you rephrase this, it's like the ego is wounded and traumatized. Yeah. Who can know it except the self-aware one? Mm-hmm. Who can know it? Search out the deep things of the heart, it says. Search the things of the heart. And then when you say out of the heart come the issues of life, mm-hmm. what is really talking about is out of the spirit comes the issues of life to cast forth the revelation and shine the light on those things that are still in the dark places so that they can integrate together and we can move and have our being in the light in the earth. Jesus was a fully integrated person when he walked in human skin. That's why people chased him down and said, that's home walking by. That's home. That's home. That's an example of home. The home is where the heart is. And so it was like, okay, Jesus walks by and they all ran after him. Didn't even leave their 2-week notices on the job because they were like, wait a minute. There's something of heart consciousness walking by that is complete healing. And it's resonating with the spirit in me that's calling forth the light to come and integrate and heal the ego.
The energetic pole. And what did Christ do? He was constantly mirroring the reality of who they were and who we are. And that's what we're called to do. It's like, how much light are we going to let pour out of us? And how much are we going to change the meanings? This is the big thing, right? Where we're talking about integrating the ego, welcoming it in, we're welcoming in and taking a look at the beliefs we've had and transforming those and choosing to attach a different meaning to it. And of course, you know, easier said than done, because we've got habits going on and triggers. But the good thing is when somebody rubs against that ego trigger inside of you and you can become aware, like, whoa, what is this? What am I attaching? What's the story I'm telling myself in regards to this? We have a choice in that moment to begin to start turning that and changing the story, rewriting the script into alignment with what God says about us. And it's so powerful. So the more we clear, right? And not clearing in resistance, but clearing by welcoming it in. It's so much easier, you guys. It is so much easier. Effortless. And you can instantly feel the relief when you stop resisting what you think is irritating you or people that are irritating you or just anything, annoyances about yourself. When you stop resisting that and welcome it in with love, welcome it in with the love and light of who you are, I'm telling you, this will be your new best friend, this technique, because it really transforms you. And perfect love, as we know, casts out all fear, right? And so it is just, it's a way better, easy route. It's the effortless way to live, let me tell you.
It really is. And what's coming to mind now is somebody might be thinking or saying, well, what about resisting the devil and he'll flee? You know, when you become integrated and drop into the heart and live out of the heart centeredness or heart consciousness of who we are, and heart equals spirit, and it also integrates the heart with it, the actual heart, because the heart stores memory. When the heart gets cleared from that subconscious programming, then we get unclogged, so to speak, so that the channel is clear, mm-hmm. so that the tubing within us is clear and clean. Then our pineal gland opens up. We start having these encounters and these dreams and these experiences like never before. Well, if it's clogged up with all of this torment and programming and looping that we do, then we're going to fight and resist the devil. instead of integrating, because when you integrate, you don't have to resist anything. It automatically, the light takes care of it and casts forth light over that shadowy figure or entity or whatever that comes around and takes care of it automatically. There is no warfare, right? It's called effortless fare.
Yeah, it's called
light presence. Light fare. It's called love fare.
Yeah, light fare and love fare.
And that's what resists the quote devil. Mm-hmm. And then it stays, the shadowy things stay away because the light is so bright. Look at it as a bug, like a bug zapper.
Right. Or electric beam. Or when you turn on the light, I mean, you can feel that resonating. And so that resonance in you is actually emanating out that is repelling the enemy, because the light's on and now they're scattering and jumping all over the place like a bunch of fleas looking for a place to hide.
With no effort.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything. But what happens, right? When we pull back into fear, we now drop our frequency, going down into a darker place, and now we can't see or think clearly because we're operating in fight or flight. And we now lose our power out of our choice and free will because of what we just chose to believe and forgot who we are, right? And then now we're in their playing field, so to speak. Not really, but you know what I mean. You have a far better, enjoyable path, right? When we come from a place of love, the power and intention of love, how the resonance just shoots light beams and just shreds the atmosphere where there is no place to hide. So again, it's the effortless way of living where you don't have to go out and war out of fear and protection for your life or for somebody else's life. It's the higher frequency wavelength of living.
It is. And when we're talking about this, is the whole discussion is about healing the ego, and this is all elements and parts of it. Mm-hmm. When you think about healing the ego, it means that I'm no longer going to say no to my heart. Mm-hmm. Meaning that I've shut my heart off to some degree and I've closed it off because I don't want to get hurt again. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be abandoned again. I don't want to feel those feelings again that are so painful. Mm-hmm. And so healing the ego, the first step is to say, okay, how do I posture myself in rest? And that's different to everyone. That looks a little different to everyone. But basically, it's letting go of resistance. Because whatever we resist, it persists. But letting go of resistance. And that's just letting go and surrendering and just allowing for a moment. When we allow, then we begin to descend from the egoic down into the heart consciousness arena, into the center of our being, where our spirit is. And when we live out of the second brain, the intuitive section of our lives, then things get real interesting. We begin to become self-aware. And when we become self-aware, we watch our ego being healed because the programming starts to dissolve and you begin to see yourself in an authentic nature. Mm-hmm. The authenticity of who you are is where we're going. And when we begin to see the authentic nature of who we are, the real us, then we're like, oh, I see it now in self-awareness. And when we do, this is when the real healing begins to take place, because then you watch those, instead of anchoring into those negative feelings and looping mm-hmm. consistently, yes. then we'll watch them float by. Yeah. We'll just be the observer. We'll be the third person, the observer, watching them float by. We don't anchor into them. We don't throw an anchor out and say, a life preserver and say, come on back. Now, we watch them go by because they're leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those thoughts. They're like a flock of birds.
They're like a flock of birds.
Watch them go by. You don't need to pull it down into you. Just let it go by.
Yeah, and then this is when real healing begins to rise. As healing, the sun of righteousness, healing, rising with healing in the wings. So the flock of negativity goes by. Then you see the righteous wings float up in front of us, and that's our spirit, that's love, that's all of the good things of God begin to be shown and revealed. And then we're like, oh, it's expansion, it's not mistakes,
right?
I'm not going backwards, I'm not quote backsliding here. No, it's an expansive state, cyclical, circular. It's like the Hebraic model of a cinnamon roll.
Yeah, right, here we go. So, you know, I want to touch again on allowance, too. We're not saying it to allow abuse, of course.
No.
But the allowance is, for one thing, we've all, you know, all of us that have grown up in religion, we've all been way too hard on ourselves, way too rigid, you know, having to learn perfectionism and performance and trying to appease an angry God, you know, trying to just, you know, even though we know he's loving, there's this undertone, right, of like, oh my gosh, if I'm out of alignment, if I'm out of his will, or if I sin, God's angry, you know, so now we're repenting all the time, all the time, all the time. So, but looping, when we come into this place of allowing and giving it allowance to ourselves, for one thing, you know, when you're feeling down in the dumps, or, you know, you're hurting, tell yourself, you know what, you're allowed to feel that way. In this moment, you are allowed to feel that way. Boom, the resistance lifts. It's amazing. And then also offering that for others. Instead of the people, you know, we're like, they need to change so I'll feel better. I need this person to change right now so I'll feel okay. And we're trying to fix and change people around us, coworkers, family members, whoever it is around us, not realizing it is because we don't feel okay in ourselves. So we make it our mission to change everything, change everyone around us. And again, it's just creating more resistance, because we're going against their free will. We're doing way too much work ourselves. And it really comes down to when you can be still and say, you know what? They're allowed to be where they're at in their journey and in their process. Again, release. It's a release.
And we can't heal their little Johnny.
That's right. It has
it's
to
not
be
our job.
But when you are expanding and ascending in your
that's
own
right.
light and your own love, you are now able to mirror to them the remembrance of who they truly are in their spirit being in an earth suit, instead of trying to fix their small self that's this illusion and lie they've bought into, right? Well, getting in the ring with them where they're at isn't going to help. It's only going to pull you down, which we've all experienced, right? It's when we step back and we work on ourselves and we're staying in this place and presence of the Lord, again, it is now causing a vibration and an energetic uplift to them, because they're going to now feel, whoa, what is this thing pulling me up higher? I now have a choice to enter into that or resist it. And that's on them. They have a free will to choose it. But it's so much freedom for you and for us when we allow people to be where they're at in their process. And we're just working on our own self in our own journey with the Lord. And so it's just freeing. We get to be our own light and mirror to the earth in a humble way.
So good. Yeah. So good, you guys. Well, we're gonna drop it right there. Like we said, this one's a little bit shorter, but we'll be talking a lot more about this. So stay tuned for more of this discussion around, because it is so big.
Yeah,
it's so big in our lives and everyone's life around the planet right now, because we are ascending. Mm-hmm. Humanity is ascending. We are awakening. We've been in a full blown awakening, just not a religious one, for several years now, even longer.
All one big family.
It's all one big connection.
Oneness.
Yeah, so it's exciting times, but it's also brutal if we resist what we're being shown internally.
Yeah,
right. It can be very, very grueling when we look at ourselves and say, "Oh, you loser." That just adds to the fuel to the subconscious wounding. Mm-hmm. But if we look at ourselves and say, "Oh, okay, wow, I'm being shown this. It's a gift." Yeah. It's a gift. You mean I don't have to fix anyone? I can leave them alone to integrate their own stuff, but I can be the light so that maybe if they want to look at me, hey, maybe that'll help transform them, become self-aware in some way. Do you know what a relief that is, you guys?
Oh, yeah. And then what a relief. They can choose it rather than being forced to do it to make you happy.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, well, have fun practicing this welcoming technique and let us know how it's changing your life.
Yes,
so
please keep in touch
changing
with us.
Ours. So anyway, thanks for listening. We love you all so much and stay tuned for more.
Till next time, paddles up.